Welcome into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here, and we're going to be taking your Twitter questions, thoughts, and comments in the final segment. Use that hashtag BucksLive. We know this time of year there are a lot of thoughts, questions, comments that are a lot of speculation, and we hope we can answer as many of them as possible. I think we've been disappointing people a little bit on our free agency talk.
We're allowed to talk about.
Yes, that we are not allowed to talk about certain things, but please, by all means, ask any and all the questions, and we'll answer them as best as we possibly can. And thankfully, we are nearing the time where it is no longer just speculation about news, that we're actually going to have the combine, we're going to have free agency, that everything is now finally right around the corner, where instead of us just talking about the hypotheticals, there will be actual things happening that we can talk about.
Well, the good news is once we hit free agency, then we can talk about all those guys. So
once they are officially free agents, right, that's very true. So with the combine is coming up next week, and we will both be there, so we hope everybody stays tuned to all the content we'll be having from there. But
Freezing, probably.
Yes, so please watch our videos so we feel like there was a reason we stood in the freezing cold.
It is always so cold in Indy at the end of February and the beginning of March.
Yep.
Every time. I don't think I've ever been there where they had an Indian summer. It's just always cold.
It really is. And I remember last year how we found every possible cut through of every building to get between the hotel to where we went.
Yeah. You can get around without going outside a lot.
Even if it meant going out of our way, we were like, nope, not going outside. So looking at the combine, what are some of the things that you're going to be really looking forward to and the way you approach going to the combine and what you pay attention to?
Well, you know, when you ask me how I approach it, you know that you and I are kind of doing a job and trying to get certain interviews, so we don't necessarily watch every workout. But you can see them. They have them playing on the TV. But we do get to see and hear all of the players coming through. They all do interviews either at a table or at a podium. And sometimes there are guys that have been rumored to be connected or possibilities for the Buccaneers in the draft, and you want to hear them. I know last year, without really having any specific knowledge, we left the combine having written a story about Vernon Hargraves and Noah Spence.
Yep.
I mean, it happened. You can look it up in the archives, and maybe one of those two was a couple days afterwards. But the point being, you have guys that you know should be, or you know, on paper look like they would be of interest to the Buccaneers, so you pay a little special attention to those. And it, like last year, listening to Noah Spence talk, because he had some stuff in his background, the reason he went from Ohio State to Eastern Kentucky, that he had to address. Unfortunately for these guys, over and over and over again, they basically get asked the same question a number of different ways. And then they're also being asked those same questions behind closed doors by the teams. Now, nobody's privy to those meetings for good reason. But those guys, it's interesting to see how well they handle the questions that they have to know are coming. And generally what teams want to hear, and so they also probably want to hear them say it when they're talking to the media, is they want acknowledgement of the issue and some indication that they've grown past it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the guys that have some kind of red flag or something unusual about their past that people really gather around the podium for.
That's true. And I always would love to be in those rooms, a fly on the wall, to just know how those interviews go, because they only have 15 minutes with each guy. I mean, that is not a lot of time to get at who this really is. And I would just love to know teams' strategies. And you hear stuff all the time about how crazy some of the questions are if stuff does leak out later. But I just would love to know that. And I'd also love to know if fans even have an idea of what they would want to ask. I always like playing that game of, for you, what would maybe be anything you'd want to ask?
I would like to go in there, but to be clear, we've been allowed by our team management to do some pretty in-depth behind-the-scenes stuff in recent years, thanks to Jason Light and both before Lovie Smith and now Dirk Cutter. Which has been great, but I remember clearly when we were there at the combine and I was getting some behind-the-scenes stuff, I was not allowed in that room because it's a privacy issue for the players. They're being asked questions that are supposed to stay in that room, and it's not something that you or I are supposed to be privy to or anybody outside of that room. So, but what I do hear happens a lot, especially with, say, a quarterback, and I'm sure this is true, is one of the coaches will put them up at the board and start just, you know, firing off stuff at them. You know, what's this? What's that? How do you respond to this? What does this coverage mean? How do you react to it? That kind of thing. And they want to see how quickly, from an X's, we're not talking about potential red flags or anything. We're talking about football knowledge and how quick their minds are. And from an X's and O's standpoint, I think that would be the interesting part about being in one of those meetings, is watching some quarterback standing up there, you know, getting fired, kind of like what you see when John Gruden works with them on his quarterback academy stuff. So.
Yeah, that's true. And there are, I mean, just a ton of people from each team there. I mean, we were in the suite, I remember last year, that the Bucs were in to watch the actual drills from, and there are a lot of people in there. So maybe people don't understand how many representatives, but maybe give people an idea of just how many Bucs staffers are there and all the roles they're playing and how many eyes are watching these
everybody,
guys.
Right? I mean, where else are you going to be in the football world? Right. That's the whole point of the combine. I think that's the meaning of the word combine. So, and they've been doing this for decades. Just only in the last maybe 15 years has become something that the general public pays attention to, and the NFL's continue to push that and make that another off-season event that everybody cares about. Basically, everybody on the football and scouting staff is going to be there at some point during that week. I don't think your equipment managers have to go, but your medical people do. That's one of the very, very big parts of the combine in terms of what the teams want, not the way it's covered. But getting those personal team, your own chance to medically evaluate this guy is probably 1A and 1B is the most important things with those 15-minute interviews we were talking about. Every time I've ever interviewed any of our GMs about that, those are the two things that are most important when they go there. So all your medical people are there. All your pro and college scouts are there. So that's another, 15 or 20 people. All of your coaches are there at some point. You know, Dirk Cutter's going to be there the whole time. But the offensive line coach, the tight ends coach, the linebackers coach, they're all going to come in and out at a 3 or 4 day chunk that corresponds to when their position is being evaluated and working out on the field.
Yeah, and I've talked to we've done some interviews recently with some of the scouts that'll be going up soon, and I asked a lot of them about how they watch the combine, maybe compared to how fans watch it. What's kind of the difference? And a lot of them said really that paying attention to the position drills is what's so important, because all the fans like the 40 and the jumps and some more of those type things. And I think, because it's been known to be called, you know, the underwear Olympics, and people are like, oh, combine doesn't matter. It was interesting to hear them say, no, those position drills, when you're getting to see guy after guy after guy so close to each other, do the exact same thing. He said, if you watch their footwork and you watch just those little things about how they look doing it, you really will start to see patterns emerge, and a guy will all of a sudden really kind of stand out. That even though it's not exactly something that will happen in a game necessarily. Mm-hmm. It might translate, and that really can be what separates a couple different guys at the same position.
Well, that makes sense, because they can get a 40-yard dash time. Every one of these players is also going to be at a pro day for his school, and generally the players care more about getting ready for that 40-yard dash because they have the exact conditions that they want. So they'll get the opportunity for all those measurables. So, but at this at these pro days, who knows who's going to be running and what drills they're going to see.
Right, and you might only see one guy of each position, and you don't have the comparison as much. So I thought that was kind of an interesting thing, and I was thinking, man, I want to start doing that more instead of just looking at that 40.
Yeah, I don't know if I know exactly when it's time, so I don't necessarily make an effort to see it, but the drill that I like the most at the combine every year is the one where it's for the receivers, and it's kind of like a gauntlet. I don't know if they call it a gauntlet or not. So they start running across the field, and they got to catch one here and then quickly catch one here, and there's about four different balls they have to catch, and they have to turn and run, and a lot of times they don't get all of them, but that's because the quarterbacks aren't right on the money.
Right.
I imagine that can be frustrating for a particular receiver. He's going through the gauntlet and he doesn't get he gets a bad pass.
That's so true. You're wanting everything to be perfect. This is your one shot.
That's a fun drill to watch.
That is a really fun drill. And again, not at all representative of something that would actually happen in a game, but really does show you some interesting things about their ball skills and their reaction time and when things aren't perfect.
I think it's reaction. Yeah, both of those things. You know, in the NFL, as you hear all the time, for quarterbacks and receivers, the windows are much tighter. So I've heard it said a quarterback in high school throws to the open man that he sees, and a quarterback in college is throwing to a spot where he thinks it's something like this. I don't think I'm getting exactly right, but the windows keep getting tighter. And in the pros, you're throwing to a spot and the receiver better be there.
And yet no one's there
and
yet.
It's this tight. And so oftentimes a receiver comes out of a break and the ball's there. So knowing that your guy can catch the ball in that situation is important.
That is a really good point. What are some of the other ones besides receiver that you find yourself enjoying watching?
Well, you know, I like the shuttle runs more than the 40-yard dash. The 40-yard dash is boring to me.
Yeah, because I don't think you can see how fast guys are going, especially on TV. You don't recognize just how fast they are.
And I like watching the quarterbacks throw the deep balls.
That's true. That is a lot of fun.
You know, the funny thing was, I remember vividly, Jameis Winston was phenomenal at that at the combine, and that's the one part of his game that hasn't gone as well yet. Having seen that at the combine, I believe it can be there.
That's true. All right, we're going to get into free agency a little bit in the next break, and keep sending in those questions on Twitter. Use the hashtag BucksLive. Also, you can send in any thoughts or comments about the combine and what you're looking forward to see, and we'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here, and we're going to continue to take your Twitter questions. You can send those in using hashtag BucksLive. We'll get to those in the final segment. Also, just any other thoughts or comments you have on the combine or free agency, even if it's not a question, we want to hear all of it. Now, talking about free agency, again, we have expressed that we cannot yet talk about individual players that are going to become free agents because they technically are not yet, and that's viewed as tampering.
Like DeSean Jackson, which I'm sure we're going to get questions about.
Yes. Right? So, which, I mean, you know, we've already gotten a few of them, and people are welcome to ask them. I just think they're going to be disappointed
well,
in our...
Well, like you said, they can express their opinions. We'll yes. be happy to read their tweets.
Yes, that would actually be great because then it's not our fault.
Right.
And it's not tampering.
Right.
So if you have thoughts about these free agents, we can hear them. But if
we'll
you have
happy to
questions
share
about them, we can't necessarily right. answer them
until
yet.
March 9th.
Or, March 9th,
or
then we can go
cut.
Crazy.
You know, for guys cut, if somebody's released, we're allowed to
right.
do
right. So then we can go
Cruz
crazy.
Or something like that.
Yes. So for now, looking at free agent, because we can't actually talk about those individual players yet, and we've talked a little bit about the Buccaneers free agents that they are that you know they potentially were going to need mm-hmm. to re-sign. We thought maybe it would be good to look back at free agents of the past that have been acquired and how that has worked out and certain positions and just the times that the Bucs have hit in yeah. free agency. So what were some of the ones that came to your mind when
well,
we thought about that?
I have written about this many times in the past, and I think the top unrestricted free agents in team history, they're really not that hard, and I'm not going to necessarily rank them 1 to 5 right now, but I would say the top five are Hardy Nickerson, Brad Johnson, Simeon Rice, Vincent Jackson, and believe it or not, a punter, Josh Bidwell. And as
punters are people, too. Yeah. Love when you give them some
well,
love.
And we've actually had pretty good luck with punters. And if you want to know a spot where anytime we've signed a guy, it's worked out pretty well.
Look at the punter in free agency. I love
Josh
that.
Josh Bidwell was great. He was the only he's the only Pro Bowl punter we've ever had. He had a nice run with us, and we got him from Green Bay. You know, you saw what Brian Anger did.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely Pro Bowl caliber last yeah. year. He just is the misfortune of playing in the same conference as Johnny Hecker.
Right.
And then
the quarterback punter hybrid.
Yeah. And Michael Kanin, who we brought in 2011, right at the beginning of the new CBA. And the idea with him was he was going to give us good punting and also be a very good kickoff guy. And actually, if you look back at some of the seasons, they're among the best punting seasons the team has had. So, I mean, Brian Anger's season this past year is the best punting season we've ever had in a number of ways. But when you start looking at the list, Kanin was there. So that's probably all anybody wants to hear about punters.
Yeah.
That position has gone well for the Buccaneers.
And you, when you list your top five, I mean, you have positions
all
from all over the board. And
yeah.
I think that is sort of a good reminder that because that was something I had asked you about earlier, mm-hmm. is if you felt like there was one position
right.
that tends to be harder or easier to evaluate in free agency.
Yeah. And I said off the top of my head, and then I went and looked at some lists, and I think I still feel that way, that no, there isn't. I mean, you can throw at me a position.
Wide receiver.
Okay. We had Vincent Jackson's one of the best wide free agent signings we've ever had. Amazingly, he made it through all 5 years of his contract, which is pretty rare these days. Everybody's getting 5-year contracts that are really like 2 or 3 year contracts that the team can easily get away from, but the Buccaneers didn't need to. And you know, he's one of the top 5 receivers in team history in just those 5 years. I mean, 100% successful signing. On the other hand, Alvin Harper, Bert Emanuel. I mean, those were two of the most notably bad signings we've ever had. Alvin Harper, at least Bert Emanuel did some good things and was on the 1999 team that went to the NFC Championship game. In fact, he made a play that was overturned on replay in that game that's still very famous. And they call it the Bert Emanuel rule now. So at least he had some impact. Alvin Harper was a complete disaster. And that was early for everybody in free agency. It was like 94 or 95. And it was before teams sort of figured out it doesn't necessarily work to take the number two guy on a really good offense and assume he's going to be the number one guy on your offense. And that's not what we did with Vincent Jackson. Vincent
right.
Jackson was a number one guy. Alvin Harper was Michael Irvin's sidekick on a fantastic offense with a bunch of Hall of Famers, and he was not a number one receiver.
Right.
Okay, so give me another position.
We didn't
plan this.
Right, we didn't. Yeah, this is completely – this, which is also I'm very impressed that Scott can just do this off the top of his head. But looking at – let's say I'll give you defensive line. You can take whatever you want with
all right.
that.
Well, Simeon Rice, who probably has at least a Hall of Fame argument. It's frustrating to
some
of us.
That he's vehemently making right now.
He's vehemently making it, but I don't disagree. And I've done some work on this, and at some point we'll try to put out some help for his cause. But he at least should be, in my opinion. He wasn't even getting put on the list, the original list every year of 110 people or so until we called
and we're said, like, hey,
because anybody
me.
Can nominate, apparently. Yeah. And so now he's on the list, but he never makes the cut to 25. And I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer or not, but it's not a crazy argument, so I think he should at least make the cut to 25.
Deserve a little bit more discussion in it.
Yeah, and so here, Simeon Rice was the final piece to the Super Bowl puzzle for the Buccaneers. You put him on that line with Warren Sapp on the inside. Greg Spires was also signed in 2002, the actual Super Bowl year Simeon was before, and that was big. But Simeon Rice was the piece that the defense was missing, which Monty Kiffin knew at the time. I remember when Simeon was going to come to visit, and he was preparing his pitch, and that's what he was basically telling him, and it was absolutely true. And I mean, the guy averaged double-digit sacks for us, so absolutely one of the best free agent signings we've ever had, two or three, maybe even one. On the other end, you know, Michael Johnson just a couple of years ago. We've tried with some guys like Amobi Okoye. We're talking interior guys, you know, through the years. There's another one whose name is just barely escaping me. But we've tried with some defensive tackles through the years. Haven't had a ton of luck except Clinton McDonald, who's been a pretty good player for us. So they're all over the board, and I don't think the position – I don't think you can – say we should never sign a guy at that position in free agency because it doesn't work out.
So it sounds like you're thinking that maybe the key is not about position as it is about making sure that the role could translate, like you said, of the being a number one receiver to number one receiver instead of trying to assume they can do something. Like, and even maybe the idea of switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3, that just trying to make sure it's consistent, the expectations you would have for them, that's the best way to try and make that guess?
That's the – probably the way, and I'm no, these guys, every GM in this league knows more about this than I do, so I'm not trying to say they don't know what they're doing, but I think there's been a lot of analysis on why free agency doesn't work a lot of times, and I think that teams really have to do a good job of figuring out, not is this a great player, you can watch the tape and see that was a great player, but is he a great player who is also a great fit for what you're trying to do? You know, the Buccaneers for a long time in the mid-90s were good at picking up a guy for this specific strong side linebacker job that they always had, like Ian Gold and Cato June, who was, you know, okay, but Lonnie Martz was probably the best one, Rufus Porter, because they knew exactly what they wanted out of that position, and they got it generally, and that's how I think you find value in free agency, which we can talk about later, but the Bucs did very well last year.
Okay. All right. Well, we still have one more segment coming up, and that's going to be getting to your Twitter questions, thoughts, comments, anything you want to send our way. Again, we can't necessarily answer about specific players, but if you want to give your opinions on them, that would help us out immensely. So send all that in using hashtag BucsLive, and we'll be right back after this quick break.
Steps up on the line, looks downfield, he's going to run with the ball, he's going to hurdle, he's
Welcome back into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite, Casey Phillips, and Scott Smith here. It's time to answer your Twitter questions. You can keep sending them in throughout the segment. Use that hashtag BucksLive. That is how I'll be able to find them.
All right. I thought we were going to have a spelling contest.
No, we are not doing that because no one would ever trust me on anything ever again because they'd be like, she's a journalism person and can't spell anything.
That's why I do broadcast. That's what spell check is
for. That's why I do broadcast, actually. Yeah. You do the writing because for me it would be bad. Okay, so Meld sent us in several questions.
Meld,
that's all it
Mel.
Says. M-E-L-D.
All right.
That's all I got. They sent us in several questions, and I think they speak for a lot of fans because this seems to be the common threads of questions. All right, first one is, and I think these are sort of...
Wow, there's like four.
Yeah, so they went crazy. There's a couple that I think we can combine here because they asked, will we push for a running back or wide receiver in free agency? And then they also asked about the position the Bucs will go for in the draft in the first round, and will Vincent be back? So these are all things I feel like that sort of help answer each other. So... the idea of whether or not Vincent will be back and then how that affects what positions we might look at in free agency and the draft as well. So I just wanted to see your thoughts maybe on wide receiver
and running
back.
I knew a little bit more about what Vincent Jackson wanted. It might be easier to answer that question. There's no doubt we could talk forever about what a valuable asset he is in the locker room. He was hurt fairly early last season and didn't get to play the rest of the year, so it's a little hard to know where he is both physically and what he wants. So we would only be guessing from the Buccaneers side of things. And, you know, it's been an extremely good 5 years, and if Dirk Koetter and Jason Light wanted to make that more, I would completely understand that. I don't think, however, that impacts the overall – plan for free agency at wide receiver. I could see them, whether or not Vincent Jackson returns, still going after something else. And I keep going back to it. I know I'm a bit of a broken record on this, but the fact that Dirk Koetter was specifically saying, yes, we need more explosive players in this offense, leads me to believe we're looking for some different types of things that we don't have. And we all know how great Vincent Jackson is and has been throughout his NFL career, and we know what type of receiver he is, and it's not drastically different than the type of receiver that Mike Evans is. So that's why I'm saying you could fall on either side of the fence of whether we're bringing back Vincent Jackson, but I still believe we're going to turn over every rock in free agency with the thought of maybe trying to add a receiver, and if nothing is the right fit, then that's a priority in the draft.
Okay, and so then how about with the first round of the draft, what position would you then say had to guess would be the priority?
What I love about this particular draft, or I think what's going to make it more interesting in the lead-up, is it's a lot more mysterious this year, and there's a lot more ways the Bucs could legitimately go. I think, I don't remember if we talked about this here in the past, but the last three drafts in the first round were not terribly hard to predict for the Buccaneers. If you go back and look at mock drafts, I think you're going to see a lot of them that had Mike Evans, Jameis Winston, and Vernon Hargraves, or a cornerback or defensive end of some kind, and specifically Vernon Hargraves in a lot of cases. This one, because, you know, obviously because we're picking 19th, so it's farther down, there's a lot more variables. You're not as sure as who you're going to have a chance to get at. But also because, you know, now we're talking about a 9-7 team who looks like it's on the way up. The defense really looked like it rounded into shape a lot last year. We know all the young potential stars and already stars like Mike Evans that we have on offense. There's not the glaring hole. There was a glaring hole when we took Mike Evans. There was a glaring hole when we took Jameis Winston and Vernon Hargraves. I don't see that glaring hole right now. And so you could probably go a lot of directions. You could even pick a player who maybe his biggest impact isn't going to be the first year. I mean, we needed Vernon Hargraves, and we needed him to step right in. Would you be shocked if we took an offensive tackle or an offensive guard? I mean, it's a position you have to, no matter how you feel about the guys you have now, you have to prepare for the future, and you have to constantly be doing that. And if that's where the value is, that's great. Now, in this particular case, I probably didn't pick a good position because this is not one of the deeper offensive line classes in a while. But wide receiver, defensive tackle, safety, cornerback even, I could see any of it.
Like you said, you can't ever have too much depth at some of those positions.
I always feel that way.
Aaron asked us a couple questions. The first one is, what is the status of Jacquees Smith?
Well, his status is he's under contract. I think he's a exclusive rights free agent, which means, assuming the Bucs want him back, which of course they do, he'll be back because he'll get a tender offer and all he can really do is sign it. his health status, I assume that means?
I think.
Yeah, you know, the team has not given an update out on that, so I would be reluctant to be the one speaking on that. But all I would say is the good news is he was hurt essentially in the first 5 minutes of the season. So
right.
You don't want anybody to go down with a major knee injury, but at least that's given him a lot of time to get ready.
Yeah, so he should be sort of theoretically nearing the end of rehab on the scheduling they tend to give you for those injuries.
Lots of times they say those injuries are 9 months. So whenever you get a player hurt like December, then you're starting, is he going to be ready for training camp?
Right.
I would doubt that's going to be the problem. My suspicion would be he's still in the tail end of recovery and getting back to where he was as the offseason begins, but not necessarily a guy who's going to miss all of the offseason like a Lewis Murphy did last year.
Right. Well, that's funny that you brought that up.
No
Aaron's
kidding.
Other question is, are they thinking of bringing back Lewis Murphy?
Well, every time you hear a question like, are they thinking of it, we can't really know for sure.
Yeah, we don't know what they're thinking.
But if you're asking me would I suspect that to be the case, I wouldn't. And I love Lou. I thought he was great when he could play here. You know, he unfortunately had some unfortunate injuries. I don't think he was injury prone. I just think he had some unfortunate luck with injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he was released, you know, he went through that. He was on the PUP, and it didn't work out, and then he was released. You could have kept him. You could have reverted him to injured reserve, I'm pretty sure. So I think that was an opportunity for both Lou and the team to move on.
Okay. Fletcher wants to know, if Doug Martin were to be released, would running back surpass wide receiver as our top draft need?
Not in my opinion. Because, A, if you can re-sign Jacquizz Rodgers, you still have him and Charles Sims and Peyton Barber, all of whom showed some stuff that you like. And I'm always of the opinion that there are running backs that can help you in the later rounds. So when somebody says draft priority, I assume they're talking about rounds one and two.
Right.
You never know what positions we're going to hit in rounds 3 through 7, but you could certainly find a running back that would be. Now, that's not to say if you think Dalvin Cook is Fournette or one of those guys is a huge talent that you don't want to pass on, that you wouldn't take him in the first round. But I don't think point A leads to point B in that question.
Okay, that's an interesting one. And I do think I've been wondering, and we can talk more about this on another show because we're running out of time here, but how people were so long against drafting a running back high, and then basically Ezekiel Elliott happened, and it seemed like everyone's like, oh, yes, take a running back immediately.
But Trent Richardson happened not that long ago,
which is an interesting thing to remind everybody. That's a good point.
I think people realize the value of running backs in general, but if there's a special one,
It's
worth it.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. That's going to do it for us here on Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. You can keep sending in those thoughts and questions on Twitter all week. Use the hashtag BucksLive, and we'll be back next week from the Combine in Indianapolis. So we're looking forward to that. Hope you'll join us there. Have a great rest of your week.